Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This hour of Dale and Keith brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, now open in Dedham next to Legacy Place. Northeast Men's Health, location in Salem, New Hampshire, and in Dedham next to Legacy Place.
We want to play.
This is what we were getting ready for all season, to be honest with you.
Score! Game-winning goal in overtime number 5.
Disappointing we didn't get to play tonight. So 11 o'clock to me, we'll have the same emotion there tomorrow.
Dale Arnold.
Mutt here.
SEC is competing for our players to play. Our players want to play. I do believe the SEC wants to play.
Go Tigers.
Rich Keefe.
And again, New England's 5-11.
What?
I think we all know why New England will be 5-11.
No!
Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
Feistiness and F-bombs.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour 2, Mutt and Hart in for the guys. Let's add to the list of sporting events that have been affected by COVID-19. Last 90 seconds, the Masters announcing they will play in November in front of no spectators. Not
no,
fans.
They didn't say that. They called them spectators. I think they called them patrons in the tweet I saw.
They can do that too. Patrons or spectators. They don't call them fans at Augusta.
Fans.
No fans. So those pimento cheese sandwiches, the cheap iced teas, the Long Island, whatever they are, the Jack Nicklaus at the lemonade and the iced tea together. I think. I don't even know. You don't get those this year at Augusta. So.
And you
just
won't even
event.
Get the...
another event affected by COVID-19.
The look of the course, right? Because I've read all these stories about how they spend so much landscaping time making the course absolutely perfect, to the point where if flowers are going to bloom like a couple days too early, they blow cold air on them to make them not bloom until the course actually opens.
I knew they had fake bird sounds. I did not know they did this.
They go all in. Ooh. And I wonder what it's going to look like now, because can you scramble and change the whole look of the course for 6 months later or whatever?
Well, it's in November. The seasons are different.
That's what
right?
I mean. Things, do you have to replant everything? Something that blooms in November? What blooms in November?
I don't know in Augusta, Georgia, but we'll find out. And to be fair, like the golf this weekend, the PGA Championship, it felt like a major. You had six guys on the top of leaderboard heading to the back nine. It felt good. You don't need the fans. The course is really the star at Augusta. It just sucks. If this was like the year that you had planned out where I'm going to take my dad to the Masters and take my brother to Masters, you can't go now.
Yeah, that
sort of sucks. But put on the list. Kentucky Derby's going to have fans in September, apparently, 24,000 plus.
Good luck with that.
I would not be going to that if I had tickets.
Can't go to school, but we can have 24,000 fans at Kentucky.
Can't play in the Big Ten, but you can practice in the Big Ten.
And go to class. And, you know, Notre Dame has already started classes. They just, you know, football is dropping like flies.
We'll pick to some of the, through the ridiculousness of a lot of this college football COVID-19 stuff next hour here.
Speaking of ridiculous.
On Dale O'Keefe with Mutt and Andy Hart. Yes, speaking of ridiculous, did you read, obviously read Ken Laird's column today at WEEI.com.
And
producer
I urge
and
others
columnist.
To go on over and read it.
Yep.
He could use a few more clicks today. Hurting his average.
Well, I would say it'd help you form an opinion on something you and I think that he's totally dead-ass wrong about.
Yes, 100% wrong. He seems to believe that the person with the most to prove this year. Yeah, finish that sentence, Patriots fan. The person in the Patriots organization with the most to prove this year. I think some people would say Bill Belichick.
I would put him on my list.
Tom, you know, he's not there. I think others might say, I don't know, Cam Newton.
Yep, on my list.
One Glenn Ordway, as I reference our week one starter board, might say Jarrett Stidham because he thinks Stidham's going to start.
Unless you're done, I have one for you. How about Sony Michel? A first-round pick,
Michel?
A running back who has one okay year and one crappy year. Is he a first-round pick or not? What do you have at Sony Michel? I put him on my list.
I had a conversation yesterday with Tom Curran because he wrote a column that the defense revolves around Juwan Bentley Interesting take. I don't know if it's true, not true. We'll see. Interesting take. Guys, was something to, I don't know, maybe the old three percenter, Justin Rohrwasser.
Oh, the kicker.
Replacing the greatest kicker, second greatest kicker in franchise history, the all-time points leader.
Just rolled over in his non-existent grave.
Okay, so you know what? We probably should talk about the receiver position. So the receiver with the most to prove.
I got one. N'Keal Harry.
Yes! Not
a first-round pick who's got to prove, was he worth a first-round pick? Does he know the playbook?
And yet, we still haven't gotten to the person that Ken says is the number one person.
I got one more in the receiving core. Mohamed Sanu.
No question.
In here, ankle injury, second round pick you traded for him. Is he the guy in Atlanta? Can he step into an offense, or was he just a awful trade by the Patriots?
I have another one on the coaching staff.
Go ahead.
Josh McDaniels.
Good
Ain't
one.
Done crap without Tom Brady in his career. So we just enumerated
nine.
Nine?
I got nine.
Nine guys before we get to, and I'm not even to this guy yet. I'm just going to be nice to Ken and finally mention the name. Julian Edelman, good old J11. That's what Ken thinks is the guy with the most to prove this year. Basically, his argument is people think that he's a product of Tom Brady.
How about I read you a little bit of Ken Laird? We can
some
react
of his
to it here.
Wordsmithing.
The slot receiver who preceded Edelman, Wes Welker, put up better such numbers than Edelman did in the same scheme. And even despite his post-Pat success while playing in Denver, Welker is still referenced as a player who was made by Brady. To break free of those same chains of doubters, Edelman needs one or two more bangers. Okay, Ken, you're not.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. You're not a millennial. I don't know.
Should we add that to the colloquial?
Isn't a banger a good song?
Like a banger can be a good song. It could be a really good party.
Can it be a good season?
Yeah. A banger of a season is just like an outright ball out season.
Isn't it also food in Europe somewhere or something?
Bangers and mash. Yeah, that would be sausage and the mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Oh, sausage.
He even writes here, as the kids say. Okay, you just trying to get your word count up with something here, Ken?
He listened to our colloquialism quiz yesterday.
I think he did.
He turned
his whole column on it.
He writes a couple 100 catch
seasons.
That's
not how you use that word.
Turned up. I think it's up.
Tell you what this column isn't. Drip or lit or any of those things.
Oh, my God. A couple 100 catch seasons as the new face of the franchise would do it. Okay, he ain't the face of the franchise. The face of the franchise is the guy wearing a mask on the field as the coach today. That's Bill Belichick. That's the face of the franchise.
Or if there's a new face of the franchise, he's the guy wearing the number one jersey.
Doing the Superman stuff. Yep.
Yeah.
Leading the way as post-Brady life begins in Foxborough, being the shining star of a new era of success with a totally different offensive scheme around him, a team leader as the longest tenured offensive player, being Newton's wingman, a man unleashed from being just Brady's pet, and he says it won't be easily done. So he is suggesting to prove I don't know what.
To I don't know who.
Edelman has the most to prove of the Patriots this year, which is just sort of a wild take.
The one thing I will say he's at least latching onto, although I don't think he even referenced it in the column, was the original reports that that's what Edelman believes. That Edelman, according to Mike Giardi, has, quote, the red ass to prove that he's not the product of Tom Brady or he doesn't need Tom Brady to succeed or whatever. I would have included that in there as evidence. But the reality is his career is now well established. You either underrate him or overrate him. I'm probably in the underrate category. Some people overrate him, think he should be in the Hall of Fame conversation.
They're wrong.
But that's been established, correct? That's been pretty well established.
He's 34 years old.
Yes, and that's the biggest issue.
He's already peaked.
Yes.
Like, he 100 catch season right now would be utterly shocking. With Cam Newton or Jarrett Stidham at 34, then 35. Because here's what happens at 34 for Edelman. The injuries start to mount up again this year. He's not playing 16 games. He's not playing 15 games. He's probably not playing 12 games. He's not going to be around long enough to make the 100 catches to get to 100 catch plateau. And so,
plus, it would be a record. I'd have to check because I don't have it down to the exact days. But Larry Fitzgerald has the record for being the oldest player with a 100 catch season at the age of 34.
Years old. He's been great.
But he was 34.
Oh, so it's being how old technically
how many days he is.
Yeah, 34 years old and
but
how many days.
It would be essentially an historic season for him. Jerry Rice, I believe, had a 100-catch season, his last 100-catch season at the age of 34. Larry Fitzgerald did it, both of whom are
Hall of Famers.
Hall of Famers.
Yep,
no question, first ballot.
Arguing that Jerry Rice is the best football player to ever put
correct.
On pads.
Now, maybe Ken's right. If Edelman goes on some run here, not 1 year, by the way. I need LeBron James again. Not one, not two. He'd have to go on a run here to really say, wow, at 34, 35, 36, he caught 100 balls, three straight years. Like, he altered the trajectory of his resume
one,
or whatever you want.
Two,
thanks, Mike.
Three.
I don't. And I think he has the built-in excuse, too, of, well, he's a 34-year-old slot receiver. Yeah, Wes Welker was toast by the time he was 34-year-old slot receiver. Most of these guys are absolute toast by this time in their careers. So I just, I appreciate Ken's effort. I just think the point missed the mark.
And I think specifically on the receiving core, it's much more likely that N'Keal Harry's got something to prove. Because Edelman, like, no matter, almost no matter what he does, maybe he can have 100. I find it impossible he's going to have 100 catches.
He's not going to catch 100 balls this year.
So,
fact, not opinion.
I mean, could he change the trajectory of his season? Yes, but he's still, he is what he is. We don't know what N'Keal Harry is. We don't know technically what Mohamed Sanu is. We don't know what Cam Newton is.
We don't know
what Josh McDaniels is, all without Tom Brady. Like, we don't know.
We might know. We might know what Mohamed Sanu and N'Keal Harry is, but it's not good, right? It's bad. It's bust. It's two different versions of bust, trade bust, draft bust, first-round bust, if we know what they are. Now, maybe they're more than that, but they certainly have to prove that they are more than that.
And I would really argue you don't know what Sony Michel is for sure. One good year, one bad year, banged up. What is he?
Again,
like, you've had two.
We might know what he is.
Well, you've had two seasons of it. Like, there, it could go one of either. You know, the playoff run he had during the Super Bowl run was really, really good. But we haven't seen that player more than, you know, for a handful of games in a row.
When the
or staying healthy.
Dominant offensive line had their way with overmatched defensive fronts.
And what was that fullback's name? I forget.
Ooh, I think it was Goat.
Oh,
is his name
Jesus
Goat?
Christ. No, it's Sam Gash.
Did you just say JC for no reason on the air? He dropped a JC in there.
Because you called him the Goat of all fullbacks, your guy.
Is there an argument to be made he's the greatest fullback in Patriots history?
Nah, you know, there's not.
Why?
They had Kevin Turner. They had Sam Gash. They had Jacob Johnson. I mean, there are a lot of guys who are better players.
Jakob.
I like his pictures.
Wait, you're now saying that Jakob Johnson
is
the conversation.
I'm trying
with
to get under your grill a little bit.
All-decade Pro Bowl fullback James Devlin?
But Devlin's, I know Belichick loves him, but Sam Gash in his prime was a better fullback than James Devlin.
I like Sam Gash, too.
He was awesome.
To be honest. Remember, but more importantly, Julian Edelman is what he is this year. He's either going to continue to be a slot focal point of the passing game, although the production could be hurt by the transition to a new quarterback, the fact that that new quarterback, not exactly known for precision passing in the short game.
That's fair, yeah.
Right? So that could hurt him, but he could still be good. He can have a good year with 85 catches, right? Or 80 catches or whatever, however it plays out in this new offense, this new version.
Actually, I think with all the players they have offensively, Andy, and we think the offense is going to be different, that it'll be more mobile, and it technically should be more big plays downfield. Like, I don't know exactly how it's going to look, but Cam Newton at his best, even when he played under Norv Turner for that great first half of 2018, he took shots downfield. They made plays with his feet to get out of the pocket and make big plays. There were chunk plays made that year. It wasn't just Tom Brady matriculating the ball down the field, bing, bang, boom, 8 of 9 on the drive, you know, it's a million completions, 4 of those to Edelman, touchdown. It should look different. If he has 100 catches, isn't that a bad thing for this offense, that they're still relying on the old Tom Brady way of doing it versus trying to upscale the offense to fit what Cam Newton's trying to do? That's not as strength as the accurate short passing game.
I don't know, because I think his yards per catch could go up, because I do think sometimes those underneath guys can also open themselves up. Like, okay, you were supposed to run a dig to the inside, but Cam's rolling out, so I break to the I shake my guy. You know, I open myself up. I uncover, as they say in the football lingo.
Yeah.
I think he could have some bigger plays like that, because we saw those with Brady and Edelman at times where, okay, the first route broke down and then Edelman finds a way to shake free and make a play down the field with a little more yards than the traditional slant or underneath option route. So I won't say it's necessarily a bad thing if he is still a high volume catch guy in this offense. We'll see where the offense goes, because the flip side might be, if he's not catching the ball, who is? We have a lot of questions about the other guys with things to prove, named Harry, named Sanu, hell, named Jacoby Myers or Damir Bird or any of these guys. I almost said Marquise Lee. You got to keep an eye on sometimes the guys that opt out.
He
and you
decided
about
that, you know what, this is going to be a little too tough to make the team right now.
I thought he might have a chance to make the team.
I don't think he thought he had a chance to make the team.
Oh, so you're doing that? You're doing the current thing that these guys aren't actually making decisions based on health and coronavirus? They're making them for football reasons?
I think that Marquise Lee and Matt Lacoste looked at the landscape and said, I'm not going to make the team, not worth it, I'm going home. I'll reset next year, find a better spot for a chance to play.
But Marquise Lee is like basically been out of football for multiple years now with all these injuries. I don't think you want to be out of sight when you're that level of player.
Okay, well, maybe that's the case. But, I mean, those two guys, you thought Marquise Lee was going to make the team?
I thought he had a shot.
Do you think Matt Lacoste is going to make the team?
I thought he had a good shot, more because they
really
don't have. Who's going to make the team?
They just drafted two guys.
Okay, they're and those guys are going to make the team. Devin Asiasi maybe is your number one tight end, even though he's a rookie and nobody knows absolutely anything.
What he spent a draft pick on a bad tight end last year, too. Not the two guys before that. Who's the guy? I'm mistaking his name. He stunk.
Ryan Izzo?
Yeah.
A couple years ago?
Izzo.
That was a couple years ago. A seventh round pick.
They wasted a pick on
him. A flyer.
They still spent a pick versus Matt Lacoste.
Flyer.
Who did nothing here as a free agent.
But more importantly, Julian Edelman is what he is at this point. And there's no shame
in
that.
That's what it feels like.
Like, there's no shame in that. For whatever you... And we all interpret it differently. I had gotten into an argument with Fourier. Remember a few weeks ago that meme went around that was, you know, talent is 10, production is 10, recognition is 1. It was like, who fits this? And he was all in on Edelman. And I think with some people, maybe that's true. Now, I would argue his talent's not 10 and his production's not 10. His production is 8 and his talent is 7 or whatever.
His production is higher than his talent.
But some people think he's a Hall of Fame receiver.
I don't think a lot of people think that.
No, I don't think a lot, but some do. And if there's enough of a conversation of that, well, then you've kind of gotten some attention.
Well, don't you take those people and you walk them over to a computer or a laptop or your phone, and you go to profootballreference.com, search Wes Welker.
Wes Welker.
And you show them Wes Welker's stats here yes. and what he did in Denver. And you go, okay, this, my friend, is a Hall of Famer.
And then they scroll down to the playoff section and they go, this is why Julian Edelman is a Hall of Famer.
Chris, we can go through his playoff game log if you want. He had some big games in the postseason.
I don't think he's necessarily a Hall of Famer. One, that's just their argument.
One, he had one stupid pseudo drop that I still put at least 51% on the quarterback, and he gets banged for it. He makes that one catch. They're erecting statues in Foxborough for Wes Welker, for God's sake.
Yeah, but he didn't make the catch.
Mutt's having a good show.
That's feeling real good.
I do a lot of nights with him. He's not this good. You bring him into the daytime, bring him out of the dark, and he really, really steps
I like to
up.
Say you're having a good show, but hopefully it'll come up at some point. But it's like, it's
keep
just.
Keep the dad jokes to a minimum. And
it's
maybe
so, well, we
cold.
Haven't had a good
Hell
one
no.
yet, though. We need those.
Oh, they're
just,
coming.
It's just sort of silly. Like, and for Edelman, like, we get it, Jules. You got abs. Like, we know. You're shirtless with Cam Newton playing catch.
You like short shorts.
You like
Bob Cousy, you stole his shorts.
You like to squint when you're doing these interviews on Zoom to get, like, the Clint Eastwood look. And now it's a Fourier line, not mine, but he's like this.
I'm not sure he likes to squint.
Bad eyesight chime? Breaking news? Bad
I'm
eyes?
I'm not sure he's
Contacts?
Controlling that anymore. It seems. You literally think he controls that? Because I don't. I've seen it enough where it's like, nope, his body just does that for whatever reason.
Kind of a hardo, kind of like you. When he talks now, you heard him on that Zoom the other day, he's trying way too hard to be Bill.
Coming from someone who squints all the time, I don't do it on purpose.
No, but do you do it with
the
same with both
eyes? It results in a lot of headaches.
You do it with the same with both eyes? Because he doesn't. He's got one eye that squints way more often
than
the other.
Concussion related?
Maybe.
Know what you're saying?
Yes.
So
I think, just a theory of mine, I have no evidence to back this up.
I think when you're ranking the wide, I am much more interested, and he has much more to prove, just to go to one other guy in the Keely Harry. I included Mohamed Sanu in that. But, like, is there upside? Is he a possession receiver? Like, there's some Anquan Boldin sort of comparisons last year.
Ugh.
They had him do some Cordarrelle Patterson stuff on the end of rounds. Like, his best skill, besides that catch he made right at the pylon, was like, okay, it's a little end around or a wide receiver run.
Right.
Like, is he a tight end? Is he a receiver? That's the proving point.
Shouldn't they be treating him like Debo Samuel? You want to get the ball in his hands so he gets the yards after the catch or the yards after first contact, because he's a huge human being. He looks built beyond all belief, and he should be a yak monster.
But Debo's a much better athlete than Nikhil Harry.
And far
right?
more productive.
Well, I don't disagree. I'm just saying that's what you need to do.
Now, you know, a good way to get a receiver the ball is a slant, right? And what happened when they threw him a slant in, was that in Houston? When it led to, I believe, an interception, and Brady was like,
Clank.
Yeah, I'm good.
Clank.
Yeah, he doesn't.
I'm done.
Yeah, but the difference, too, is Tom Brady's not going to throw again in Nikhil Harry's direction, whereas Cam Newton will be like, all right, kid, like, catch the ball next time. And he'll throw it to him.
Excellent point, which is why another reason why I added to the list of why Edelman's not going to get 100 catches this year is because the quarterback is not going to look at Edelman as his binky. Like, Brady had this thing where, whether it was Welker or whether it was Edelman, and maybe there's another tight end, maybe Gronk at times with this guy, all else fails, throw it to that guy. I don't trust anybody else. Cam is not going to do that.
You know what I hear about Cam Newton? His favorite receiver? The open one.
Oh, God.
That's what
the
I hear about
The tight end.
Him. The tight end.
He loved throwing the ball to Greg Olsen.
Dalton gets free.
I hate to channel Rick Pitino. Greg Olsen ain't walking through that door. And if he is, he's on a different team. What team is he on now? I forgot.
Seattle.
Yeah, he's on Seattle.
He's already signed a TV deal to go work for Fox.
And he works for Fox. So either way, he's not working for you, Cam Newton, with the Patriots. He is twice employed elsewhere.
Dalton Keene better be ready. Those hands better be up.
No, it's Devin Asiasi. All the eggs are in that basket. Can he be what people think he is as a mid-round tight end who had one productive
year? Or even if Cam uses Edelman like he used Greg Olsen, he won't be quite the binky that Mutt is calling him, but he will absolutely be the emergency blanket.
I think Dalton Keene is going to be a very fun player to watch. Not just the mustache this year.
That's what we're in on. That's what we're all in on.
I'm picking a random guy that I sort of think has a chance to.
You want to know who Dalton Keene is?
Go ahead.
Kyle Juszczyk. He's going to become a receiving fullback. That's it.
I think that's what he is.
I don't
He's
hate
more
that.
Of a fullback than a Juszczyk tight end.
Juszczyk almost won the MVP in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Was it last year? You think you had him at big odds to do that? So, I mean, we can all say thank you, Ken, for giving us some content this morning.
Yes, we appreciate it. We got a segment out of your column.
We have nine other players and coaches. There are nine other players and coaches that have more to prove. And maybe we forgot somebody on this list.
How about Steve Belichick?
That have more to
Right?
What does he got to prove? I mean,
I don't know that he's more than a Belichick.
Yeah, okay.
How about Brian Belichick, who's now has to prove he's more than a Belichick and a full-time position coach.
What are you going to do? So every coach now without Brady is now going to
prove. How about Cole Popovich / Cam Brasillo, the offensive line coaches who have to prove that they can take, you know what, and turn it into chicken salad?
How about Mike Lombardi's kid not just being a friend of Belichick?
Yeah. We got nepotism. We got
piece to Mike.
Fobabism.
Mick Lombardi.
Whatever it all is. Lots to prove. Julian Edelman, nothing to prove.
All the guys
he could ride off into the sunset now, and he will have had a Patriots Hall of Fame, the one down in Foxborough, Patriots Hall of Fame career. He will be a Super Bowl legend. I don't know if you ever heard, he'll never buy a beer in this town again.
I've heard that about a lot of people, yeah.
Yes, it's not always true.
He's 10th on my list. I'm not going to put any of the players you just said are coaches, the Belichick's or these coaches that no one's ever heard of. Edelman is 10th on the list of people with something to prove. And he's third in the wide receiving corps in my depth chart behind Sanu and N'Keal Harry.
I agree.
That was the local take that we wanted to rip. Nationally, Colin Cowherd said something that initially sounds kind of crazy, and I don't think he's that off base. I know Scheim does. I don't think he's that off base. We'll explain coming up. 617-779-7937. The phone number, your thoughts on the Pats and Cam Newton and Julian Edelman. We'll get into the Patriots nationally as well. It is Dale and Keefe. No Dale or Keefe. Mutt and Hart. WEEI.
Drive home with OMF. Weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now here on WEEI and on WEEI.com. The Bruins' quest for the Cup finally underway this morning in Toronto. Game 1, Bruins and Carolina Hurricanes. They are scoreless in the first period, about 11 minutes to go there. We'll update you on all things Bruins in the first intermission here on the program today. Red Sox lost their second game in a row last night to the Rays. 8-2 your final from Fenway. Sox are back in action tonight against Tampa. First pitch is 7:30. On the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, Zach Godley on the mound for the Red Sox. 2018 AL Cy Young Award winner Blake Snell will take the mound for Tampa. Celtics made it 4 in a row yesterday, beat Memphis 122-107 your final. Celtics are locked in to the 3 seed in the Eastern Conference. Jason Tatum, he led the way with 29 points. Celtics final regular season game slated for tomorrow at noon against the Washington Wizards. Some college football news, according to Brett McMurphy of Stadium, the Big 12, Andy.
Yes.
Still plans on playing football this fall. This is a big one. Conference games will start in late September with the option to delay the start of the season until October 10th. So for the Big 3 now, Big 12, SEC, ACC. You can't crown a champion that way, but can you have a legitimate football season, those three conferences, and maybe playing some end-of-season games against some of those teams?
I think you can even crown a champion. All right, the Big 10, you're
there's
out.
No Big
you
chose 10.
Okay, who cares?
There's no Pac-12.
So there's no Ohio State, basically.
Well, Michigan. Aren't they usually in the mix?
No.
No?
They lose to Ohio State
Wisconsin?
Every year.
Barry Alvarez?
No. What is this, 1997?
I like Wisconsin. Like the Badgers. Okay.
Russell Wilson had them win in a bowl game, didn't he?
But I said yesterday, the biggest loss here for us is college football fans. Like that noon game between like Northwestern and what's another bad Ohio?
Illinois.
Minnesota. What a great nap game that is on a Saturday. Like a couple bad Big Ten schools and it's 7-7 at halftime.
So you'll have West Virginia, right Ohio State. I mean, Oklahoma State, September 26th.
But those are good
games.
You know
what that means?
I like to sleep through these bad Big Ten games.
Take the over. Scheim, take the over in that game.
A lot of overs.
I don't go for you for betting. I go to Scheim for betting.
I thought you were an expert. Shouldn't you go to your own head? You stay.
He's an expert in other areas than me. We balance well together.
You're picking games in college football 2 months ahead of time. We don't do that. We put the work in. I want to see what the team. I'll look at the rosters. I'll look at the preseason.
Who's on COVID IR for that
one? Very good question. Trending now here this hour, brought to you by the Dana-Farber Brigham and Young Cancer Center, where everyone on your team specializes in your type of cancer and works to create a personalized care plan just for you, a plan focused on keeping you safe and defeating your cancer. You can learn more at youhaveus.org. Mutt and Hart in WEI.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Dale and Keith.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
AFC East. Buffalo. I had them earlier about 9 wins. I'm going to give them 11. They've added Stephon Diggs. They've had a couple of opt-outs, a defensive lineman, a corner. They're deep on defense. Miami's one of the toughest teams for me because I really like where they're going. But, God, they needed a preseason. So I've got them at 7-9. They don't have a preseason. I don't think Tua will start. I think they'll find their magic about week 5 or 6. Jets, C.J. Mosley opted out. Jamal Adams is gone. They're just not going to be good enough in an improved division. And again, New England's 5-11. 8 opt-out players. Cam is sharing snaps. No preseason for Cam sharing snaps. No deep threat. No functioning tight end. Dante Scarnecchia, best O-line coach in 20 years, retires. I think we all know why New England will be 5-11.
Colin Cowherd breaking down the AFC East yesterday. It is Dale and Keefe, Mutt and Hart in for the guys. Get you updated on Bruins and Hurricanes after the first period. And it sounds ridiculous, and I saw a lot of Patriot fans taking the screenshot of the 5-11 and the AFC East and mocking Cowherd for it. And I'm not allowed to do that, Andy, because a couple of weeks ago we did the records. I said 6-10. So I'm not that far off from Colin Cowherd, and I do think if you're trying to make the argument, if they're a 5-11 or 11-5 team, what's more likely? I think they're more likely 5-11 given the questions they have this year. I like the excitement of Cam Newton. I can't wait to watch what the offense looks like. Went through a list of players that have something to prove.
Yep.
A lot of excitement for the team, but actual skill on the field and ability to go win games in a year where their schedule is tough and the practices are shorter, I think they're lacking in that category. I think they're closer to 5-11, 6-10 than flip-flopping it the way it usually is with this 11-12 Patriot win team.
I don't disagree with your more likely 5-11, 5-11 or 11-5. I actually would take the 5-11. My question to you would be, so you have them as a 6-win team right now?
I have them 6-10, and I had them, to be fair, I had them with that record before they got Cam Newton.
Okay, that was what I was going to ask.
And I did not update it because I think Cam Newton is – the quarterback was never going to be the biggest issue for this team. I think Stidham, if they picked Stidham as the guy, he would have been okay. But given his lack of accuracy and being thrown into it and the lack of talent around him, just like Brady last year, how good can Cam Newton really be, in my opinion? He can be okay, not great. Not enough to be a big change offensively for this team.
See, I mean, I have doubts about Cam Newton. You have to have doubts. You know, lost eight starts in a row, been banged up,
like
whatever.
Nick Fitzie-Stevens have doubts. They just see a guy who's a stud and MVP, and he's going to win a million games for him.
But I also think it's probably not accurate to say he's not worth anything in terms of an upgrade. Like, to have the same record with unproven, unknown, never played in the NFL, fourth-round pick Jarrett Stidham to Cam Newton, and there's not a half a win and a half. Like, there has to be something.
How much better are the guys around Cam? We haven't seen Cam with these players yet, but we mentioned N'Keal Harry, Mohamed Sanu, Sony Michel, Lamar Miller now in the mix. Those guys get better with Cam Newton?
Are stuck with Stidham, too. Apples and apples.
But at least Stidham was here, and he had worked with some of these guys before. Cam's being thrown directly into it with a bunch of offensive players that I don't think were very good for Tom Brady a year ago, so they're going to be better because Cam Newton's here?
So who would I rather have? A guy who at one point in his career, not saying he's there, at one point in his career was the centerpiece of an offense, was the guy who you said, I don't know how it's all going to come together, but he's going to lead it. With his feet, with his arm, with his want to, with his whatever, compete level, Cam Newton, the magnetism, the energy that a lot of players are talking about.
All talking about the energy. Yes,
which I find very interesting.
I think it's from the coach, but go ahead.
Oh, it's a dig at Brady through the coach.
No, I think the coach is. I think the coach has given them the talking. Go ahead. I'll get to that later. Okay.
That there's value in Cam Newton. And again, I'm not saying you go 5-11 to 11-5. Stidham stinks. Newton's great. Boom. We're a playoff team with him. We would stink without him. I don't think it's that. I personally had them in the 6-7 win range as a Jarrett Stidham team. I now go the other side of 8-9. Yeah, I think he's worth a couple wins, Cam Newton,
at some point. If you told me he was the Cam Newton of the MVP year or even the 2018 year, it's 2 years removed from that. So I'll be proven wrong
by him. He's not better than Stidham? There's a big drop-off from 15-1 MVP unique player record setter to what's Jarrett Stidham?
He is better if he's playing the way he played a couple of years ago, based on last year when he was hurt or the back half of 2018.
Or if he's hurt, different.
I don't know if he's better.
He's better.
I don't.
If he's healthy, he's better than Jarrett Stidham.
Well, in the Carolina offense, like so I guess your point about Josh McDaniels is something to prove here. Is he going to build an offense that gets the best out of Cam Newton? I guess I'm in the I want to see it first. Because Stidham was going to run an offense they had at least a year plus to work on.
I don't think so.
I think they knew.
They were going to tweak the offense for Stidham like they're going to tweak it for Newton.
I know, but that was not a year plus. I'm sorry. From when they signed Brady on, I think they weren't going to go out and get a high-level quarterback. I think Newton fell in their lap, and it was always going to be Stidham's job to lose. I think they were sort of building it around it on Jarrett Stidham. They're being asked to flip it on the fly for Cam Newton. And I'm just saying I want to see it first at 6-10 with Cam Newton before I say, you know what, he's worth two wins. Because the guys the last 2 years isn't. And where I get caught up, and I admit
this. 2 years ago before he got hurt, that guy was.
But the last thing we saw even that 18 year was a guy who was banged up and did not perform well.
If he's hurt, this all goes out the window. Because I think that's for everybody. If Jarrett Stidham's hurt, he's not going to be as good as he could be or whatever.
But Jarrett Stidham doesn't have the injury track record that Cam Newton does.
He doesn't have any track record. Have any track record,
and
though,
this is maybe,
other than he played four snaps. He played, 15 snaps, threw four passes, and one of them the other team said, thank you
This might be unfair, but what I need to see out of Cam Newton is a guy who is willing, Andy, to play a game that doesn't put himself in physical peril. Like, he's got to be able to, and I'll give you credit because you brought this up first, play like Russell Wilson. And we talk about it on Mud at Night. Russell Wilson is a great mobile quarterback who never takes a big hit. He slides early. He gets out of bounds. Doesn't care about the extra yard. He's going to pick up what he can, get down, and get the hell out of the way. Cam Newton, for a large portion of his career, has fought for the extra yards. And he's not been hurt running. He's been hurt throwing and then fighting for extra yards and trying to make plays that maybe weren't there. And he's got to be willing now to be a different, in my mind, type of quarterback, because he's so going to be so important. You're right. Maybe he's worth 2-3 wins to this team. He can't be putting himself in that position. He's got to be mobile, but he's got to be a smart mobile quarterback this year.
Right. And I mean, we've talked about this a lot. The injuries and the questions of durability and pounding for him, even though he runs a lot and even though he's a big runner and a powerful runner, his bigger issues as a football player have come as a passer in the pocket, either standing in there and taking hits, holding on to the ball too long, or scrambling a little bit before trying to extend the play. That's, to me, the biggest concern. Working with this offensive line, finding that comfort, protection, fit, working with Josh McDaniels, what is the number in your head, the mental clock? How much do we want you to fight and extend plays? How much do we want you to Brady it, live to fight another day, throw the ball? Find that happy medium, because I don't think Cam can be Brady. He can't be the lead the NFL in throwaways, lead the NFL in intentional groundings. He can't be that.
No.
But I also don't think he can be holding on to it, moving, scrambling. That guy, I think that's a dangerous game for him to put. There's some happy medium in there that he has to find. It's not going to be Russell Wilson right away, because Russell Wilson is the gold standard of that, in my opinion.
Well, why is it hard just to slide and get down and get out of the way?
Because he's played a certain way, but it's not just, yeah, the opportunity to slide, okay, I'm already rolling out and I'm running, now I slide, that's easy. I'm talking about I'm in the pocket, I'm bouncing around, I'm doing a little bit of, Deshaun Watson battles this, in my opinion, too, where he's bouncing left, right, he made that guy miss, but he doesn't see the guy that's bearing down on him because we're now 6 seconds into the pass rush. You know, like that mental clock, that alteration, I don't know how quickly you can change that with these athletic quarterbacks. That's who they are. That's their instincts take over, for better or worse.
Well, that's on the coaching to let him know how important he is, that he can't take that. 617-779-7937, the phone number. Add Cam Newton in the conversation, talking Patriots in this hour, and your first intermission reaction to Bruins and Canadians. Canes coming up
after the
break here with Andy Hart, Mutt in the house, WEEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Keith on WEEI.
Aho drops it off. Edmonton's drive scores. The Bruins have not yet led in Toronto. And once again, they trail. Marchand to Pastrnak. He scores. The Bruins tie it. 2:15 to go.
As promised, you're home to react to the Bruins between periods here. It's Mutt and Keefe in Mutt and Andy in for Dale Keefe, WEEI.
Try that again.
In 3, 2, 1. As promised, you're home to react to the Bruins here between periods. It is Mutt and Hart in for Dale and Keefe, WEEI. You heard Edmondson score the early goal for the Hurricanes. They led late into the first period, but a beautiful goal for the Bruins. Bergeron wins the faceoff, gets it to Marchand. Marchand, first glance, I thought a beautiful pass to Pastrnak. Second glance, as Andy pointed out, maybe just a great play by Pastrnak to bat a puck in front into the net. He scores the tying goal. We are 1-1 after one in Toronto. Game one, Bruins and Hurricanes. Andy Hart, your thoughts?
A lot changed late in that period, because I was ready to come on here and mock you for them trailing 1-0.
That's all you do. Yep.
Never leading in the bubble and all these things. And then I think a really big goal and a really pretty goal. You mentioned it, whether it was a little
skill was sick by Pastrnak.
Oh, Pastrnak, ridiculous. Ridiculous. Apparently he is fit to play today. Whatever came before this day, we forget about. Fit to play.
He scored a goal. Fit we don't care anymore. You hurt your wrist last year. You're good. We're
People
fine.
People scored goals, and it was your leading scorer was that person scoring goal, right, Scheim?
I just want to let you know, Scheim analysis right again. People are going to score.
But Marchand, nice job sort of turning the corner and then crossing the puck. Again, I'm not
just
sure.
A really skilled goal.
Not sure he necessarily saw the tape of Pastrnak's stick or anything of that, but got it across the net, and Pastrnak with a very quick, athletic goal. And the Bruins actually, I thought, sort of finished the period strong. They had like a 3-on-1 breakaway where they didn't actually get a shot, but was a little bit of a helter-skelter final few minutes of that period. Maybe the
Well, the Bruins look like the much better team.
The bear has been poked!
As the period went on, after that goal, you're right, the final 3.5 minutes, that was all Bruins in that final part of the period. And that was the sign to me that whatever you saw in those three games, especially with this goal right here, that Pasternak scores to make it 1-1, they didn't score a point in the three games. And they show up in game one, face off, great play by Marchand, great finish by Pasternak. Like, that to me is a sign that those three games, put them in the rear view. Put it, and the answer by, yeah, by mean, answering Carolina here today. Well, they
premature.
They. I'm looking at some of the advanced metrics here. Ooh. They held the puck for like 60% of the period.
Corsi rating.
Like that. I don't know if I had Corsi rating. Not Jim Corsi. But they dominated the puck possession. The goal they gave up was really a crappy goal. You know, Carolina was it was 1-on-3 into the Bruins' end, and somehow Joel Edmondson ends up with a wide open one time in front, which Tuukka just could not get to. It was instant reaction. I'm not going to blame Tuukka for that goal. I'm going to blame the Bruins defense. But as the period went on, they looked the better team, the team that won 100 or had 100 points in the regular season, and a team that should, I think, dismiss Carolina pretty quickly in this series.
So your pregame
after 20 minutes
analysis has been strengthened?
Yes,
you would say,
I thought
so. Based on the way they finished that period?
Yeah, they woke up.
Now,
it
would
took
you
them a
have
while,
been
but
concerned
they woke up.
Had that period ended 1-0?
If they... Yes, you know what?
I mean, I think that was an important goal. I think that was important energy to close out that period.
Yes. Certainly
Marchand, who was one of those that voiced the, it was the preseason, those didn't matter, yep. blah, blah, blah. He talked a lot about that openly, which I give him credit
for. The coach did, Rask did, and Marchand did, yeah.
He had an energetic first period. He has been bouncing off a lot of canes and sticks and doing sort of Brad Marchand unskilled things, and as well as the assist on the goal to set up Pasternak for the goal, sort of the Marchand skilled things. So I give him credit, the guy who sort of did lay it out for us publicly. Yeah, that was pretty, that didn't matter, we're going to flip the switch. Well, I think he flipped the switch.
They're just a much better team, and I feel like people got caught up, and maybe those the experts and you and Fitzy and Lou.
You had no doubt.
No, because
they still
just,
have no doubt.
They're just bet like some teams, Andy, and I made the Belichick Cassidy reference earlier. Like, the Bruins have sort of a Patriots trust level with me as an observer of what they
win.
Do.
Better well, team doesn't always win.
In
just reality.
But hold on a second. You made this point yesterday.
It was a good one.
If I'm going to make the point and regurgitate it to you, it probably was a good point. Well, you tell me because it's going to hurt your argument now.
Uh-oh.
You said in the NFL this year, you'd rather have the good players than the good coaches.
Yes.
So in the NHL, in the quick turnaround, don't you just want the more skilled team, the better team? That's the Bruins. They're a better team. They're a deeper team, more talented team, better goaltender, and yes, better coach, by the way. Who cares? I'm not caring about coaching right now. They're the better team. They had 100 points in the regular season. They're better.
In
Carolina,
general,
81.
In general, I always want to be the better team.
Yes.
I want to be the more skilled and talented team. But there is a weirdness to this restart in a bubble and the way they treated things, and I'm always fearful of the flipping of the switch idea. Because I think if you just really went back and did like this advanced analytics study and sort of pinpointed teams in various sports
that
flipped it or didn't
Can
flip
it. Can you do
it,
that? Or no. Somebody at the website do that?
Somebody. Hannibal.
Simon, I just want to bet.
Hannibal.
Is he alive?
Get on that.
Where's he been?
I think in his house or apartment or wherever he lives. I think he's quarantined.
I haven't seen him at Mud at Night.
Cranking out stories.
Somebody's going to write for the website. But I think I'm a believer that if you could ever quantify that, the flipping of the switch would not work. It would fail more often than it works,
well,
that idea.
Well, maybe, but didn't we say that about clutch for a while, and it turns out there is clutch in sports? Like, oh, the nerd said, oh, there's no clutch, can't have clutch. Well, yeah,
No, these are the same thing. Clutch is a thing, and momentum slash rest and rust, that whole question. Like, theoretically, that shouldn't be an issue. Like, just quantifying it, okay, the Bruins are the better team. They had more wins, more points, better players, more goal scorers. They should win, right? But that's not how it always works, because there is momentum and energy and, you know, turning it on and off and complacency. And you're taking this, thanks to the last 3 minutes of the period.
And it wasn't just the goal. You'd admit the ice was, I'll use a hockey cliche, the ice was tilted for the Bruins the final 3.5 minutes of the period after that goal.
Yes. Okay. What'd you think of the quality of the ice? Because you also bitched about that earlier.
Looked pretty good from where I'm sitting, watching here in studio. Shime, your ice breakdown, was the ice okay for the first period?
Looks smooth so far.
Okay, that's key.
They got the first game of the day, that's
big
why.
Big ice guys.
The key.
The guy said people will score goals today.
Hey, is that really the key? Don't they have one of those machines that, like every other ice rink I've ever been to that drives around and fixes the ice?
Yeah, but people haven't been on it for hours, minutes? So it's good. It's nice and clean.
Like 4 hours since
and there's 87 and a half minutes between games. I learned that last night,
at least, yes.
At least.
But do you also agree that was the fact they scored that goal end up being sort of a jump start for the team. That like a goal like that or a touchdown for a football team, it can sort of wake up a team.
Yes.
And I felt like that goal from what we were watching here in studio, that woke up the Bruins.
I also think it the way
poke
the goal
the
unfolded is good for the team.
Drop the puck.
Opening the floodgates.
How did that goal unfold?
Your best players made the play.
Right.
Like, face-off, Marchand, Pastrnak, goal.
It was Bergeron face-off,
yep.
Correct?
Yep.
To Marchand, loops around to Pastrnak in front of the net, goal. I like that.
Awesome skill.
Right. To me,
awesome
that's, skill. You know, whatever. The 07 Patriots, Brady to Welker for the first down, Brady to Moss, touchdown. Okay, feeling pretty good. Bad example because it didn't end well for that team. But your talent came out of its shell. Your talent, the reason you were supposed to be the number one seed, the reason that you may not have been the number one seed because they didn't really do anything, whether they were trying or not in this bubble restart round robin, your talent just said, nope, guess what? We're back, baby. The stars of the bees have aligned.
Yep, and the Bruins and Hurricanes. Keep saying Canadiens. Bruins and Hurricanes. Carolina Hurricanes are tied 1-1 after the first period. We'll react to this game between periods and after the game, assuming it ends. I keep saying it's going to end around 1:30.
Never know.
Andy's right. Andy keeps saying
and it's tied
four,
after
five,
one.
6 hours of hockey.
We're knotted at one
we'll
after
leave
one.
We'll here at two. We'll make room for Lou and Wiggy, and we'll watch the game when we get home.
And Dale. Don't forget Dale.
I mean, Dale's on TV.
I think Dale's expected to make an appearance on the afternoon show. Isn't that accurate?
I did not know that.
Shine making
don't,
all kinds
no,
of
no,
weird
don't, no, no, don't look at it. Shine doesn't know either, so you're saying things we don't know the answer to.
Well, maybe I'm speaking
okay.
out of hand, as
That's
they say.
The program director, Andy Hart, telling you who's going to be on the show.
Hi, right Joe!
617-779-7937, the phone number. Any high noon hot takes on college sports you can give us here coming up?
Sure, I can come up with something during the break.
I have like a high noon annoyance. Is that
a
segment?
I'll take it.
I don't. Sure.
High noon annoyance.
Don't have an open for it, but we can roll with it.
Want me to voice something
you
quick?
You could.
High noon annoyance with Mutt.
We can do that coming up. I do want to talk about college sports. We'll update you on the Bruins as we get through the afternoon. It is hour three. Dale and Keith. No Dale or Keith. Mutt and Hart. WEEI.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.